challenges us to consider the shifts that God wants to bring into our lives. So we're continuing in this theme in worship. A shift is a change in position or in direction or in tendency of something or someone. And it might be a shift, say, in the light that casts a new or a different shadow. It might be a shifting of gears. It might be a shift in how you think about something or how you view a particular thing. It might be a shift in how you typically respond to, let's say, stress or a conflict. You know, so there are always opportunities and moments for us to make a shift, a change in position or direction or tendency. The point is, God can lead us to realize that a shift can be for our better. It can be better for us in our lives, but also better for others that we share our lives with. Last week, we looked at a shift in worship, and it was a wonderful time together as we were challenged in that area of our lives. Today, I want to lead us to think about a shift in connection by looking at a story in the life of Jesus. He seemed to always be in conflict. Now, listen to this. He seemed to always be in conflict with very powerful religious leaders of his time. Now, he's like a lot of us. We're not looking for a fight, but sometimes that fight comes to us, and that was where Jesus found himself. So listen to how Jesus cuts right through the mess and gets to the heart of the matter. So this is going to be found in Mark chapter 12. I'll pick up in verse 28. One of the teachers of the law, that's that expert I was mentioning, came and heard Jesus and another religious group debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked Jesus, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Jesus answered him, "The most important one is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And then he goes on, "Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." Now, this is an Old Testament reference to the Old Testament book in the Torah called Deuteronomy. And in that book, chapter 6, is this instruction to that old ancient people, the Israelites, that their God was one, and they were to love that God, that one God, with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all their strength. And so Jesus reaches back and grabs that commandment and brings it in, and he says, "This is the most important commandment." But Jesus continues. He's like, "But wait, there's a second one too." And maybe that expert's ears kind of perked up. "A second one? Yeah, the second one is this," Jesus says. "Love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this comes out of another part of the Torah in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19 and verse 18. And God is telling his people this almost exact same thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so Jesus reaches back into that old ancient word and brings it forward as the second greatest commandment. And then he continues, the expert says this to Jesus, "Well said, teacher." And I think if that expert had known who he was talking to, he probably would have hit his knees. And here he is complimenting Jesus on his answer. "Well said, teacher. You are right in saying that God is one and that there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, all your understanding, all your strength, to love your neighbor as yourself, are more important," listen to what the expert says, "more important than all the burnt offerings." Verse 34, when Jesus saw that the expert had answered wisely, he said, "You are not far away. You are not far from God's kingdom." As if people like him, experts like him, were in some way, possibly could be far from the kingdom of God. And that was what Jesus' ministry really was all about on earth. He really was bringing the kingdom of God into the world. Jesus would often say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is here." Jesus identifies for this expert that he is near. He is near to God. He is near to the way that God wants people to live. You see, here is an expert, a seasoned veteran in knowing about God and even teaching others about God. Some might think that he's trying to trick Jesus by asking him this question. But maybe this one teacher, out of all the other experts that were gathered debating with Jesus, maybe this one knows. Maybe he is on to something. Maybe he knows there's always an opportunity to go deeper with God. Or you could say to go further with God than he had ever gone before. And Jesus confirms as much for this guy. And he says to him, you're not far from God's kingdom. You're not far, my friend, from really grabbing hold of what God really wants for you and really for all people. So Jesus indicates to this expert that what's needed is a shift in his life. What's needed is a shift. Rather than knowing enough about God to be able to teach others about God. And how many of us in this room are qualified to do that? Well, we've got some old Sunday school teachers in here, or maybe some life group leaders. We've got some moms and dads, some grandmamas that know how to teach about the Lord to their family. But really, how many of us are able to teach others? And yet this one is a teacher, an expert. Rather than knowing enough about God to be able to teach others, Jesus is inviting this man to discover a closer connection to God than he had ever known before. You see, they could agree on what was important about the law, about that old, those old laws and requirements of that old ancient Jewish people. They could agree on that. But what Jesus was doing was trying to lead him to a shift to say, listen, my friend, there is more to God than just knowing about him, more to God than just being able to teach others about him. There's something about the heart that God wants. There's a closer connection, man, that God wants to have with you than just knowing about him. Someone can talk about these words from Deuteronomy 6 called the Shema, or someone can experience the amazing love that can be shared between us and Jesus. All of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. This is what Jesus was calling this man into, a deeper connection with God, of his heart, of his soul, of his mind, and of his strength. What does a deeper connection with God look like? So I want to take the remainder of my time just to share that a little bit. What does that kind of close, deeper connection, where if we were to shift in our understanding of God or what it was that God wanted from us, if we were to make a shift, maybe we would come to understand a little bit of a closer connection with God, a deeper connection with him. And so what does that look like? I want to take the remainder of my time today to share what I believe that can look like. Here are a few ways to start off with. And I'm going to refer to scripture passages. And so if you're a note taker, if you want to jot down these scriptures, you can go back later and take a little bit of a deeper dive into these passages of scripture. But what does it look like to walk closely and deeply with God? Well, Micah 6:8 says this: here's what the Lord requires of you: to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. That's a pretty close and deep connection to God. You know, sometimes we don't walk humbly with God. Sometimes we kind of walk arrogantly with God, pridefully with God. Sometimes we walk with God kind of angry at God. But here's, he says it just so strongly. Here's what the Lord requires of you. Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Have a humble heart before God. That's what it looks like to have a close connection with God. There's got to be a kind of humility about us. There's got to be a little something in us that loves mercy rather than retribution. There's something in us that needs to be willing and able to step out and act according to God's justice and not according to what we believe ought to be. This is a way that it looks like to walk closely and deeply with God. Here's another, John chapter 15 and verse 4. This is in the New Testament. These are Jesus' words. He says this, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No one can bear fruit by themselves. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine." And then Jesus says this, "Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Some of us wonder why it is that we're living our Christian lives in absolute defeat. Absolute failure, just fruitless lives. We're bound up in stress and worry and anxiety and trying to make our finances meet at the end of the month. And there's so much that seems to grab at us and yank us and twist us and pull us from end to end, like it's trying to rip us apart or rip our families apart or our homes. Jesus says this, "Remain in me." Abide in me is what Jesus is saying. And let my words abide in you. It's not rocket science, folks. The Bible is the Gospels are filled with the words of Christ to us. And to remain in those words and let Him remain in us, and we'll bear much fruit. That's one way to go deeper and closer to God, is to invest ourselves in abiding and remaining in the words of Christ. It has an amazing way of bearing good fruit in our lives. And so if you're kind of at a dead end, you're like, man, I've got to have a shift in my life. Something's got to change. Let me recommend to you that you begin to check out the words of Christ and let Him begin to minister to you and see the kind of fruitfulness that Jesus will bring about in your lives. Here's another passage that I think speaks about a close walk with Jesus in 1 John 1:9. It says this, "If we confess our sins, He, that is God, is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us." We don't have to walk around with the weight of sin just weighing down on us like a big burden. Sometimes it's like the sins of our past just kind of chase after us. And every chance that somebody that knew us from the past has, they'll just remind us of our failures and who we used to be. And it just feels like a burden and a weight that lays on us. But Jesus says this, "All you have to do is confess to me. Just be honest with me about your sin and listen, I'll forgive you. And not just forgive you, I'll cleanse you, I'll clean you, I'll wipe it away. You have a fresh start." That's what it can feel like to walk closely and deeply with the Lord. Sins forgiven, stains cleansed and cleaned. That's awesome, isn't it? Well, a deeper connection to God means that we find that God's way leads to a greater and deeper life, a more rewarding life. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "The plans I have for you are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So call on me," the Lord says. "Come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." The Almighty God listening to me, hearing me, man, that's amazing. The Lord says that to all of us today. He's got good plans, plans to prosper us. "Call out to me," the Lord says, "and I will hear you." Romans 10:9. This greater and deeper life that we can have as we grow closer and deeper with the Lord. In Romans 10:9, it says this, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord," and let me say this, we just had a couple of young people this past week actually take this step of faith, where they declared with their mouth that Jesus was their Lord, believed that God raised Him from the dead, And they gave and made like a commitment of their lives to Jesus Christ. They opened their lives to Jesus Christ. And next week, we're going to have a baptism service. We're going to baptize those two guys. Great rejoicing in the house. If you declare that Jesus is your Lord, that means he's your kind of master or leader. He's in charge. That's a good way to think about it. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. It does take faith to walk with Christ. Who in their right minds believe that a dead man rose again to new life? It's not a TV show on a cable network. No, this is real. Who believes that? It's just that those that believe in Jesus believe that. That God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With your heart you believe and are justified, and with your mouth you confess your faith and are saved. Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, thank God. There is no difference between people. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call upon him. Everybody that calls upon the Lord will richly bless. You feel like that you don't deserve rich blessings? Let me tell you, go by God's word. Call upon him. And it says that he will richly bless all people. All people are the same before God. There's not rich and poor, privileged or unprivileged, educated or ignorant. We're all the same before the Lord. And he says, call upon me and I will richly bless you. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's not our work. That's God's work. All you got to do is open your mouth and say, Lord, save me. And then God goes to work. A deeper connection with God really is found in the person of Jesus Christ. A deeper connection with God really is found in the person of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of ways to walk as a religious person these days, and a lot of roads that will take you 1,000 different directions. But there really is something about Jesus Christ that helps us to understand who God fully is. In John 14, Jesus says this. And I want to tell you, before I read this, some people take this verse and they use it to really almost kind of joyfully condemn people. I've never understood that about good Christian people who just get a lot of joy out of condemning other people. And they use this verse to kind of, you know, do what Jesus said he didn't do. In John 3:17, Jesus said, I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Jesus does not condemn you. The opposite. He loves you and he saves you. But he says in John 14 these words, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Don't hear that. Don't hear those words as excluding. Hear those words from Jesus as an invitation. My friend, he says, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Nobody can get to the Father but by me. He was speaking to people in that verse who had been conditioned and taught that you had to work for God's favor. There was a religious law that had to be followed perfectly. Who can do that? Who can do that? Who can be perfect? Who can obey God perfectly all the time? And yet these people have been conditioned. This is what's required. Follow it perfectly. But Jesus flipped the script. He introduced a shift. Rather than saying people had to follow a law, he invited them to follow him. It's not about a law, it's about a person. It's not about obedience, it's about a relationship. And he introduced a shift. And to follow Jesus meant following him straight to the Father, because these people have been conditioned to think the only way that I could ever get to where I want to be, and that is in the presence of a loving, good Heavenly Father, is to keep a law perfectly. And Jesus flips the script, and he invites people to just simply do this. Don't perfectly obey, but follow me. Walk with me. Abide with me. And let's walk straight to the Father. You and me. You and we. And let's just walk to the Father. And it's almost like Jesus said, I'm not sure if there's another way to really get there, folks. And so I invite you, Jesus said, follow me. I am the way. I hope you believe it. I am the truth. Test it out and see. And I am your life. You will find life nowhere else, Jesus says. There really is no other way to that Father that you want. And so follow me, and we'll walk together to the Father. I wonder if that's what Jesus was saying. I would like to think so. I believe so, actually. I believe Jesus is not necessarily one that excludes and condemns. He's one that reaches out that hand of friendship with an invitation. Come along. Let's walk together. Jesus' words still ring true today after so much time in history. His words still ring true. Jesus' way of heart, of soul, of mind, and strength. It's Jesus' way of love and compassion. Jesus' way of believing that leads to every good and lasting gift from above that we could ever want or need. Here's one final thing. So I'm wrapping it up here. So stick with me. One final thing. A deeper connection with God is a daily walk. And I want you to pay attention to this one. It's a daily walk. So I want you to think about this. Think about every step that you take. Every step you took to get here today. Maybe you crossed the street. Maybe you parked the car and walked across the parking lot. Walking from your house or your apartment to your car. Maybe grabbing a ride with somebody. Every step. A deeper connection with God is a daily walk. Step by step by step with him. You believe. Some of you believe. Some of you doubt. But some of you believe. That's a step. Some of you trust in him. You've had a tough time, and you're not sure if God is trustworthy. You kind of feel like he's let you down a little bit. But today, you're still willing to trust God. Even though there's been some difficulty, some disappointment, some despair, and it's been a tough time, you say, I'm not going to let that win out. I will trust. And you take a step. You believe his promises. You take a step. You stumble and fall and fail. Welcome to my boat. And you pause. But you confess. He forgives. And you take a step. You learn a new lesson from the Bible, a new angle on how to think about Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And you take a step. You forgive someone who doesn't deserve it, just like Jesus forgave you. And you take a step. You determine that God has more for your life than punching in and punching out, that He wants you to serve Him. Give all of your life to Him. Serve Him, perhaps, in ministry. He wants you, all of you, for Him, for all of Him. No more punching in. No more punching out. And you take a step. You suffer with illness or fatigue. You languish. And you call out to God for His healing touch. And you take a step with God. And maybe for the first time, you realize this morning a desire in you, way down in you, to have a closer connection with God. And you're ready to take a step of faith. I don't always do this, but I want to pray a prayer that can be your prayer of faith. A prayer that tells God of your heart's desire to love Him with all that you are, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, all of your strength, everything that you are. I want to tell you, I'm going to pray this in a minute. You can pray it out loud. You can whisper it, or you can pray it in your heart. I want to ask everybody just to bow your heads. Enter into kind of a posture of prayer, however you do that. For most people, it's bowing the head, closing the eyes. Some people, it's an upward glance. Some people, it's kneeling. Whatever that posture of prayer is before the Lord. I want to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer to God that communicates to Him your desire for a closer connection. And maybe it's a shift today for you. You've never really thought that this was for you. But today, the Lord is speaking to you. I want to tell you, if your heart is moved today, it's not because of a preacher. It's because of the Holy Spirit. I don't always do this, but I'm going to pray a prayer here that can be your prayer. And so you can repeat it as I pray along. If this has already been something that you've prayed before to the Lord, it's been your heart for the Lord for many, many years, you can just simply be asking that the Lord speak now to hearts. Here we go. Are you ready? Oh God, I believe with all my heart that you love me. Jesus, I believe you died for me. I confess you as my Lord. And I believe that God raised you from the grave. Forgive me of my sins. And come to live in me and through me. You are the way, the truth, and you are my life. And now, God, I know that I'm your child and you are my Father. Thank you for saving me as I have called out to you in prayer. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. I want to say to you, if that was the prayer of your heart today, I want to tell you something. You don't have to tell me. I can't save you. But I want to tell you, God heard your prayer, and He knows your heart. And it says that whenever anybody calls on the name of the Lord, that is anybody, you shall be saved. Amen to that. This has been a great day together, hasn't it? Good. Let me ask Jeff, you'll go back to question number one. And I want to leave us today with some what I call shift questions. And so these are just a few questions here for us to look at. You might want to jot them down. And if you don't have time to jot them down, I've got them in my notes. You can come and I'll make sure you get those. Here's the first one I want to leave you with. Is it time for a shift in my life to have a closer, deeper connection to God? Has that time come for you? And I want you to take these questions and just reflect on them, not just today, but in the days ahead, and see if God might start to do a shift in your life. Because nobody has to tell you, you might know for yourself, something's got to change. But a deeper connection to God in my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. All right, the second question is this. Am I willing to confess my sins and receive God's cleansing so that I can walk closely to Him? There may be something in you, just something that you know is an area of disobedience or even rebellion against God. Maybe it's a lack of faith or a doubt. Maybe there are other kinds of sins of commission, things that we've done or things we've thought. We just know it doesn't honor God. If anybody knew of it, it would be shameful. Now might be a time for you to confess that, even in this moment. So I want to give you a chance. Are you willing to confess your sins and receive God's cleansing? If so, do it right now. You don't need a priest to do it. You don't need a pastor to do it for you. You go straight to the Lord. Jesus makes that possible for us. All right, here's the third and final question, and then we'll be wrapped up today. What's the next step I need to take to walk closely and deeply with God? You see, there in a crowd this size, there can be any number of steps, and the step that you need to take might not be the step I need to take for that shift to really take hold and for my connection with God to really strengthen and draw closer and go deeper. Maybe for you, it's realizing that, man, I need to be with God's people a little bit more. I just need that encouragement. Even if I need to find a quiet corner to sit by myself, there's just something about being gathered with others for worship that can change me. And I need to give myself more to that. And so maybe that's a step you need to take. Maybe it's reading the Bible more. You say, well, I'm not really good about reading. I don't like to read. Well, I can understand that. But God's word is a word of life. And if you'll give yourself to it, even a little fraction, but more than a fraction, if you'll give yourself to God's word, you really will not believe the fruitfulness in your life. But maybe that's the step you need to take. God's word is not familiar to you, if you were to be honest. I just don't know God's word. I count on somebody else to tell me God's word. I count on a preacher. I count on a Sunday school teacher. I count on a life group leader. I count on my grandmama to tell me God's word. It doesn't need to be their word. God's word needs to be our word. Amen? Amen. Maybe we need to be in God's word more. Or maybe we need to pray more often. Maybe we just need to turn our attention Godward. You know, sometimes we get so focused on our lives, and rightly so. They can get troubled. They can get really messed up. And we focus so much on our own issues, on our own troubles, on our own problems. And you know what tends to happen when we do that? Gratefulness to God and our awareness that only God can help. And so if you don't know how to pray, I'll give you two prayers that I believe God always hears. Help! God, help! You might even not even know how to finish it. You don't have words. You just know, God, I need your help. He'll hear that prayer, and He'll go to work on your behalf. And the second prayer that I know God hears is this. Thanks. Thank you. Anytime that we get so down on ourselves and into ourselves, gratitude is one of the first things to go. When we begin complaining or we're dissatisfied, gratitude is the first thing to go. But you know what's amazing? When God begins to stir our hearts, one of the first things that returns is gratitude. God, thank you. Thank you. God, I'm even going to say thanks before anything happens. Anything good. I'm just already going to tell you thank you because I believe that you're working. So maybe praying a little bit more often. Maybe forgiving someone who's wronged you. They don't deserve it. But maybe God is calling you to take that step. That step is not for them. That step is for you. Forgiveness always kind of unknots your heart more than it blesses the person you're forgiving. A lot of times they don't care if you forgive them. But our own hearts need to be forgiving. So maybe that's a step that you need to take to draw closer and deeper with God. A couple of others here. Maybe there's the step God's asking you to take is to show more kindness or show more patience. Maybe the step God is calling you to take to be closer and deeper with Him is to be baptized. And if that's the step God's calling you to take, you know it. I don't have to convince you of it. But next Sunday, we're going to fill that pool behind me, and we're going to have a baptism. And maybe the step God wants you to take is that step of baptism. If you want to take that step, you can get in touch with me, and we'll include you in that baptism. And then one final step that God might want you to take. Tell someone, especially if you prayed that prayer today, if that prayer was the prayer of your heart, opening up your life to Him, making a commitment of your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord. Tell someone. Tell them about new belief, about your new belief in Jesus. Let me voice a prayer. Josh and others can come now to lead us in our closing song. Lord, we thank You for the fullness of this day, for the fullness of Your presence in this place. Lord, if we believe that it was just a room full of people, we might as well pack up and go home. But Lord, what we've anticipated more than anything else, what we've expected, Lord, more than anything else, is Your presence, the glory of Your presence here, that in this place that we have the opportunity to meet You, the living God. We praise You for that. Lord, You know the work that You're doing in us, and nobody else needs to know. But Lord, we need to be aware of that, and we need to be ready to respond to You, because You really do want to bring about a shift in our connection with You. You want to be closer and walk with us more closely and talk with us more deeply. And so, Lord, may we open up our lives to that, to the work that You're doing. In all things, Lord, we ask You to be pleased and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. We're going to sing a closing song, Just As I Am. That's a song. Let's stand together. That's a song that all of us can know. For old timers, that's a heart song. And for those that are new to the faith, let these words sink into your heart. They're beautiful. Let's sing.